Hey there, it's Tiberi. Hope you're doing all right in what remains an odd, odd time. Today's podcast is with Senator Phil Berger. Perhaps you've heard of him if you're paying attention to North Carolina politics this past decade or so. You're going to notice a change in quality in his voice as we get toward the latter part of our conversation when we're talking about the legislative session. That's a technical snafu. We're aware of it. We didn't mean for it to happen, but it did. So just a heads up. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. And again, hope you're well.
Please silence all electronic devices.
I've told the governor this directly. I have felt that he made decisions that were appropriate given the information that was available to him.
Come April 29th, should a stay-at-home order continue in some capacity?
In some capacity, yes.
Any further discussion or debate?
From the bunker of sweatshirts at North Carolina Public Radio's unofficial Northern Wake County Bureau, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. Glad to have you along. As always, I'm Jeff Tiberi. Today we are talking about, yes, you guessed it, the novel coronavirus, what it has meant for North Carolina, the stay-at-home orders, and what can be expected when state lawmakers return to Raleigh next week. Conversation today is with the leader of the North Carolina Senate, Rockingham County Republican Phil Berger. He returns to the podcast, and I began by asking him if this has been the strangest few weeks in his life.
Yes. Based on memory, I strange in terms of just the uncertainty, just trying to think ahead. I've never experienced anything like this.
It seems anecdotal to me that there's this growing discord last week or so as it pertains to social distancing, the stay-at-home order. And I want to hear from you on some of those things. But I guess bigger picture to kind of get us into it is, what are you looking at to determine, from your perspective, when North Carolina will be ready to either end the stay-at-home order and or start reopening? What is it you're kind of tracking on that front?
One thing that I'm interested in, I don't know that I have the kind of information that would be more helpful, but where are we in terms of the what I would refer to as the run on healthcare resources? We've been told that one of the reasons that we need to do the things that we've done as far as shutting the economy down is to lengthen the bend the curve, lengthen the period of time when folks will be showing up at our hospitals. I don't feel like I know enough about what the predictions have been as to the needs and what the actuality has been on a timeline basis. In other words, on we are now at April the 20th. On March the 15th, and Jeff, I'm talking to somebody that I read a good bit of stuff. I am not a scientist. There's no question about that. But it just seems to me that we already should have enough information where some of the rules that are in place, There should be a way to modify them. One example would be, and I think you saw some of my members put it out over the weekend, sporting events. I think there's a way to do sporting events where they can be televised. You don't have the crowds in the stands. The NASCAR press release is something that just seems to me that they can pretty much do the social distancing. Don't have folks in the stands. It can be televised. I think prohibiting that sort of thing, it seems to me you can probably lighten up on something of that nature. Given the folks that tend to be most seriously affected, I think it's possible that some other sporting events likely could go on with modifications of live audiences and those kinds of things. So I think there are some things that probably can be done. And again, I don't have all the information that the executive branch has, and I'm hopeful that we're going to see some reasonable modifications as we go forward.
So reasonable modifications. Come April 29th, should a stay-at-home order continue in some capacity?
In some capacity, yes, particularly for at-risk populations, particularly if folks are not willing to practice social distancing, particularly in connection with some activities that may require close contact and you can't wear protective clothing. Yes.
Let me double back here just for briefly. You mentioned sporting events and other live events. You mentioned that NASCAR event, and I think that works, of course, unless there's a fight between multiple drivers or something. Then, of course, they're not adhering to social distancing. What others?
Right, but they're probably in their 20s or 30s and less likely to be seriously affected by the virus and more affected by a right cross. So
right, there you go. What other sporting events and live events do you think should be reopened to some extent?
I think it's possible for some of the things where there is close contact. If I recall correctly, the NBA did a fairly extensive test of their players, and even though there was a great deal of news about the player from the Jazz getting sick. I have not followed whether or not he had any symptoms, whether he's fully recovered, whether anybody else has been hospitalized. I think it's the folks that are in that are not in the high at risk population. It seems to me that it's likely that you could probably have some of those things moving forward. I do think that that if you have folks that are necessarily involved in something that lacks social distancing, then those folks, when they're outside of those competitions, need to be separated from the more at-risk folks and maybe even some sort of limited contact with the population at large for a period of time.
Give me an assessment of the job that the governor is doing across the last 5 weeks or so.
So from the very beginning, I've told the governor this directly. I have felt that he made decisions that were appropriate given the information that was available to him. I think that as we have moved along on a timeline, I think there are some things that could have been done that would have given us more and better information that that were not being done. But I would say overall, I think the governor has practiced what I would just very simply refer to as better safe than sorry. So I think if he has erred, it has been for the most part on the side of what I believe he has been told is necessary for public safety. And I think that's reflected in the polling that's out there. I think people who are asked and are familiar with what has taken place have expressed a similar opinion.
You and I are chatting here on a Monday afternoon. Tomorrow, Tuesday, there is scheduled to be another protest in downtown Raleigh. We've heard from it, by my count, as again, you and I chat on a Monday afternoon, at least two elected officials, Congressman Dan Bishop, a former member of both chambers of the legislature, also a current sitting state senator, Vicky Sawyer. Those are the two elected officials as of now who have said they're going to participate in this reopen NC protest. It doesn't sound to me from the words that you've said here in the last few minutes that you agree with protesting the actions of the governor at this point, not setting aside the ability to protest, which as a journalist, of course, I think people should always be able to voice those opinions. But it doesn't sound like you would have any interest in protesting at this point if you were Joe Q. Citizen.
So I probably am not going to be in Raleigh tomorrow, so I will not be at the protest. However, I think the concerns that have been raised by some of the ones that I've seen publicized by folks wanting to reopen the state are legitimate concerns. I think the Wake County order and if it's interpreted this way, the governor's executive order is an unconstitutional infringement on the First Amendment. As far as religious practices are concerned, I don't see how you can have one set of rules for commercial activity, and they are deemed perfectly appropriate, and a different set of rules for substantially identical activity that prohibits that other activity because it's of a religious nature. I also think that what I've said about the differences in different parts of the state is entirely consistent with what I understand the reopen NC folks are saying, and that is that there needs to be a consideration of differing rules in different parts. And remember, if I understand what the reopen NC folks are saying is that when we get to the point that the current executive order expires, that there needs to be a lessening. I don't understand them to be saying that there should be no order whatsoever. In fact, I think they're saying that the social distancing and some of the other things are things that should continue and that they intend to observe during the protest. Now, there may be some folks in those groups that are more taking a more aggressive stance than what I've articulated. But I think what I'm saying is entirely consistent with what I understand Senator Sawyer has said and with what I understand Congressman Bishop is saying.
So if you were in Raleigh, you would maybe go over to that protest or definitely go over to that protest?
Since I'm not going to be there, I just don't know that it makes that I can respond to that.
Senator Phil Berger here on the WNC Politics Podcast, leader of the North Carolina Senate, Republican from Rockingham County, and he's joining us on the line. Are you at your home or your office right now?
Actually, I'm in my office at the present time.
We heard from a Republican governor in recent days, Larry Hogan, Maryland's Republican governor, about there not being enough tests available. And let's roll this forward 2 weeks. Are you confident that a reopening, a diminishing of restrictions can take place right now? Or do you have some reservations about doing that at a time when there aren't, according to a number of elected officials and public health folks and various people from across the spectrum, there aren't enough tests right now?
So I'm trying to understand how many is, quote, enough, because what I'm told is even with social distancing and the restrictions, there are a number of people that, notwithstanding the fact that there are tests available, that folks are being told, we're not going to give you a test. Your symptoms are not that severe. Go home, self-quarantine. If you get worse, call us. So there's a real question, I think, about how many tests are needed, and if the standard is we don't reopen the economy until we have a test, have enough tests that everybody in the country can get tested, I don't think we'll. I just don't know that we'll get there.
So I want to ask you about the session and move on. But before I do, if you've got a number or a threshold in mind, you mentioned testing, just theoretically, testing every North Carolinian. So you're talking about whatever that is, 10.4, 10.5 million tests. And I would offer the current snapshot of maybe a 1% of the population having been tested, maybe 100,000 people. What do you think is enough, to go back to kind of the initial part of your response from that last question, is if you have a number, is it 250,000? Is it a million? Obviously, you don't think it's 10.5 million.
No, Jeff, I don't know that I've sat down, put pen to paper, and tried to come up with that specific number. I just, quite frankly, I don't know that we've seen that number from the folks that are saying we don't have enough tests. All we hear from them is we don't have enough. Somebody ought to be telling us what that number is, and I think somebody with better data than I have direct access to should be doing that. I've got to believe that the Department of Health and Human Services should have some understanding of what that is, and should be in a position to tell us how many, and then that number then can be looked at by other folks with some expertise and some background, and we can form an assessment as to whether the number is too high or too low. But when all we hear is we don't have enough and we can't do anything until we have enough, but we don't know how many is enough, I'm just not sure that's good enough.
Will you be wearing a mask and or gloves when you preside over the Senate next week?
Do not anticipate that will be the case, but don't know that we've had a complete discussion about that. I think people who want to wear a mask will be free to do so, obviously. As I sit here in my office in Eden thinking about that, I do not intend to. Early on, the advice was that the folks that ought to be wearing masks are the people that have a fever and or have tested positive, because the mask actually protects the people that you're around so that you're not spreading something. We're now being told that everybody should wear a mask in certain circumstances, but I'm not sure that that's a blanket recommendation even at this point.
Will the Senate consider any changes to unemployment benefits in the state, specifically extending the lifetime of unemployment benefits, the length under which someone can collect, or the maximum amount?
Jeff, there's been some discussion about that. I don't know that when we come in next week, that will be one of the things that we'll do. We'll do some things in connection with unemployment, but I don't know that modifying the weekly benefit or modifying the total number of weeks is necessarily one of those.
Starting today for the next 3 weeks, the legislature is effectively closed to the public. No advocates or lobbyists or regular citizens are being allowed in the building, and it's undergoing a deep clean, if you will, before lawmakers from around the state gather next week. Was that a hard decision to make? Do you wish that you could have provided an avenue for some element of the public or some small group of the public to come in the building, or no?
So I don't think any decision to close the doors to the legislative building is an easy decision. However, we do have certain things that the legislature has an obligation to do and must do in person. In order to respect the safety needs of our members, respect the safety needs of clerk staff, the sergeant at arms, we have come up with a way to employ social distancing within the Senate chamber so that we can conduct the people's business. I actually think that what we're talking about doing is entirely consistent with what I had said earlier about reopening things, respecting social distancing, taking reasonable steps to observe safety, and those kinds of things.
It seems as though there is some support in the House to provide potentially some sort of coverage for people who are uninsured. Should they get tests or should they need treatment for COVID-19? If such a proposal, and I won't use the M word, you can if you'd like, but if such a proposal or a similar proposal, some kind of iteration of that proposal, were to move over to the Senate, where under people who do not currently have health coverage would be provided a, we'll call it a stopgap or a short-term health coverage or health umbrella for COVID-19 related expenditures, would you support that?
So actually, I think the funding for exactly what you're talking about is part of one of the federal packages that has come into North Carolina. It is my understanding that the federal dollars that come into North Carolina will be available for testing. So 100% of test costs will be paid for. There are also dollars that are going directly to providers through the federal package to address the providers' needs that are not being paid for otherwise for the things that are a consequence of the virus being in North Carolina. So I clearly will support the expenditure of those federal dollars to the extent that the legislature is required to take action in order for those dollars to be spent.
Well, what else are we going to see at the legislature next week that perhaps we're not yet aware of or we're not paying too much attention to? What other policy specifics can you provide?
I really think that most of what you're going to see is going to be consistent with a lot of the conversations that have been taking place over the past several weeks. I don't know that there will be any particular surprises in terms of what we do. I think you're looking at things in the education field, to try to address the days that have been missed, some of the other things that are going on in education. I think some technical language to deal with the interest on late payments for taxes, some extensions of deadlines for licenses and permits, certificates and things of that nature, those sorts of things. Plus, I think there'll be a bill that will allocate some of the federal dollars. I think there's about $4 billion that's coming into North Carolina. Some of it will have to go directly to the city of Charlotte, Wake County, and Guilford County. But the other part of it, I think there'll be some appropriations dealing with those dollars. We've had conversations with the governor's folks about proposals that they've got. I think we'll have a consensus on the spending of at least a portion of that money. Beyond that, I think that'll cover it.
Some very quick ones to get you out of here on. Have you and the governor met in person during the last few weeks?
We have not.
One person you have not seen during the pandemic and are missing?
I'll tell you what I'm missing. Missing watching baseball is what I'm missing more than anything.
What's the likelihood as a percentage 0 to 100 that the state Senate will approve some form of redistricting reform in 2020?
Oh gosh. That's something, there are a lot of things that I've been thinking about, but that's not one of them at this point. I don't know that I can put a percentage on it. I think it's 100% that there'll be discussions about it as we go through the year. I don't know that I have a clear enough picture on where people are to assign a percentage as to the likelihood of something actually being passed.
Last one. What have you been cooking during quarantine? Do you cook at all?
Not really. I tend to eat as opposed to cook. I usually am responsible for at least part of the dishes. So the only thing I've cooked is I scramble some eggs in the morning. I will put some bread in a toaster and I'll make coffee. That's probably probably it as far as my cooking.
Phil Berger is pro tem of the North Carolina Senate. He's in his 10th term from Rockingham County. He is the Republican leader, of course, of that chamber. Senator Berger, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you, Jeff.
You can find the Senate pro tem on Twitter at Senator Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. Remember that you can stay up to date with what is happening in North Carolina politics with a visit to our website, WUNC.org. There you can also find links to my colleagues' various reporting. You can also click on the latest episode of Test It. That's a daily podcast that WUNC is running right now, and it is all about how North Carolina is responding to COVID-19. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you know the various locales to locate our on-demand programming. Thank you for clicking play. Do me a favor and pass this episode along to a neighbor, colleague, somebody in your orbit. For Senator Phil Berger, I'm Jeff Tiberi. Stay safe. Enjoy that distancing. We'll talk to you soon.